Hey y'all, it's me again, Bonnie Violet. I just wanted to take a second and thank my Patreon members. Patreon members are folks who contribute on a monthly basis anywhere from $3 to $150 a month to support the work of a queer chaplain. Big shout out to Victoria Thompson, Jason Brandt, Brandon Stanton, Kim Silva, Brandy McCarg, Randy Sandknot, Bob Kaiser, Joey Huckmeister, Violet Rhiannon, Gabriel, Jonathan, Patrick, and Todd Atkins-Whitley. Thank you so much for your continued contributions. And if you're interested in joining the Patreon, just check the link in the description. Go to patreon.com/BonnieViolet. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Good morning, Bonnie Violet here, queer chaplain, and you have found yourself at 7 of 8 of the Lacing Your Narrative with a Spiritual Thread live stream workshop series. Seven of eight means that we're at week 7. So today I'm going to go over, we're going to go through what we've been doing. For folks who might be just jumping in, we'll go through that briefly, but then we'll talk about what our focus is for the next week. So bear with me as we breeze through this process. So Lacing Your Narrative with the Spiritual Thread. It can be watched live. It's live streamed on Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube, or you will find it on libraries after the fact, so you can participate when and however you find it. Those libraries are found on Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Patreon. Also, you can listen to this on a podcast if that's preferred. You can listen to all audio, all of the daily lives, as well as the workshops themselves. anywhere you listen to podcasts at A Queer Chaplain. The intended outcome of this process is to lace your narrative with a spiritual thread throughout your lifetime, to remind you of your resilience, build and strengthen your faith, cultivate and create hope, and for many of us, spiritual healing and transformation will occur. So I am a transgender spear drag artist and chaplain. I'm not a therapist or a counselor, so I like to put that out there every time. I'm also not... I haven't went to divinity school. I do have, technically I'm a minister, or I'm ordained via the internet, in which I do weddings, which I love doing. I haven't done one in a while, but I do love doing weddings. So what I'm doing and saying that is just, I would suggest that you do access some support through this process. For some folks, mental health support might be really great, or spiritual leader of some sort. You can also potentially just do this process with a friend or a group of friends so that you can kind of check in with one another. You can also, you know, reach out to me if there's any sort of support that I can provide to you as well. All live streams are recorded and public. So if you're popping in during a live stream, just know that your participation is public. So if there's something that you don't want to talk about publicly, to not do that during the live stream, but to direct message me. We will have some private space available. Actually, I do have private space available during this process. So every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, I do have a Zoom room that folks can check into. We can have a more private space there. I welcome any and all forms of spirituality, and I'll say, and lack thereof. Again, this is just a process for folks to lace their narrative with some sort of a spiritual thread. This is free. But I do invite folks, if you want to, after the experience or during the experience, if you feel so inclined, you know, to join my Patreon. Or, you know, there's a lot of ways that you can contribute. You can see the link below. Still not good at asking for that stuff. All right, so the structure is there's 8 live stream workshops every Saturday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. As I said, this is number 7 of the 8. I will also have a daily live that will take place every Sunday through Friday, and that will take place at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And on Fridays, though, it would be at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. As I mentioned before, too, we do have that private small group space, which are the Zoom sessions. And so those are once a week, again, Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. One-on-ones are available at any point in time. So if you want, you can reach out to me anytime. Direct message me on whatever platform you're listening to me on. If you're on a podcast, again, you can look in the description and find a way to reach out to me. Just to go back to the daily lives, those are also a really great time for you to pop in and ask questions or make comments if you want through the process. And you know, if you're challenged or struggling with like the week's homework, if you will, or the week's progress, you can check into those daily lives and maybe that will prompt you or help you through that process. Also, you know, this can be done very self-study in your own, at your own pace, and all that stuff. So move through to the next thing. So what we're doing is that we are creating a, basically we are each week, we are either writing, typing, drawing, we're recording ourselves either via video, or via audio. Some folks also might be using photography or collage. Maybe you're writing music, creating sculpture. Maybe some folks are just, you know, spending some time meditating and on the topics for the week. So whatever it is that you're doing or you choose to do, or even you might choose variations throughout the process. Basically what we're doing is finding a way for us to document and or kind of capture, if you will, our narrative and our narrative with our spirit. So like kind of like being able to begin to speak our narrative and or even just write it down or whatever, again, to try to capture what our experience is. And then ultimately, finding a way for us to speak or express our narrative, I think is a very powerful part of the process and can really lead to owning one's story, as well as just, you know, again, it just, I think when we're able to go through the process of, lacing our narrative with a spiritual thread, we can begin to see our understanding of spirituality, our understanding of God, our understanding of just how we believe the world to be now versus the way that we maybe saw the world in the past. And I think one of the magical things or powerful things about this sort of understanding is that you can actually insert this belief system. You can insert, if you will, God or whatever it is that you could, creator. If you can begin to see that in the past or begin to see that in places where you hadn't seen it before, it actually changes your narrative. I think it can make difficult things. It might be able to create, it's hard to speak really broadly about this, but for some people, you know, it completely changes your narrative. It can turn something bad into something good, or it can just help with the healing or transforming some of that pain into something else. What this does is it reminds you of your resilience. So it reminds you of the crap that you've been through, the stuff that you've gotten over, as well as it, so it reminds you of your resilience. I think what it also does is it begins to build like hope because we will continue to have moments in our lives where we won't be able to connect with our spirituality, with our creator, with our God, with like, we'll maybe stop believing shit that was helpful at some point in time. And so what this will do is this will give us hope that even when we're not experiencing this thing, when we're not able to connect with it, that we know that it's still at play, because we can look in the past and see that it was there when we hadn't seen it before. So I think what this also does is this builds our faith. For me, faith is not like, you know, like a blind faith. It's faith is something that I've come to have because I've done or I've experienced the same thing over and over and over and gotten a similar result or got the result I was looking for. So I have faith in that process or that thing or that understanding because I've seen it and experienced it over and over and over again. So again, I think that's how this process will strengthen your faith, which I know it sounds really challenging, but just strengthen your faith, even if it is just in yourself or your, because we put a lot of faith in a lot of things. So even if we don't have God, a creator, a religion, we still put a lot of faith in, you know, that things are going to happen the way that they're going to happen. So like I had one of the things that I had a lot of faith in is that, you know, as soon as something good was going to happen, that something bad was going to happen. It was kind of like the waiting for the shoe to drop, that that statement. So whenever I had like a high or anything really great happening, I believed that then I needed to have something to take me down. I don't have that sort of belief or understanding anymore, but I had faith that that was the process, that that's just how things worked. And so I built a lot of faith in that. And In some ways, I even I think experienced those things differently because I had that belief and understanding. Whereas now I can just realize that things happen. And there is probably a rhyme or reason and an ebb and flow to it, but it's not that. Also, I've learned or I've come to not have such severe, I guess severe emotions and experiences, like to go from so high and then so low, whereas now I can have highs and lows that there's not that much distance between them, if that makes sense. So it doesn't make it as severe or drastic or traumatic kind of experiencing going through that process. So I just have an acceptance that, you know, and a different understanding now than what I had then. So one of the things that's really great for us is to get to a space that once we capture and we come to know within ourselves, our narrative, again, it's being able to speak it to somebody else, which is really powerful. But I think also getting to have someone listen or being somebody who gets to listen to someone's narrative is a really powerful. And I think part of the process, you know, I think eventually, like for me, eventually all I could do is speak it. Well, actually, it's interesting because I think I heard people's stories first, which allowed me to think that then I could have a similar story or I could begin to look at my narrative. And so then I can come to learn it and then I can speak to it. And then now that I've spoke to it, I think I then can witness and hold that space for other people as well. So it's kind of like this circular kind of thing, chicken before the egg thought even maybe. So, all right. It's so interesting. Some days there's quite a few people on here with me, and other days I'm just here all by myself. So I'm just putting that out there that I'm alone today. So I'm feeling a little, I don't know. So that just might be coming across. So this week, what I actually wanted to do was start with what our process is. Usually I go through what we've gone through, but our process this week is to create our narrative. So it's actually to create our entire narrative across our lifespan. So basically what we're going to do is going to be culminating or adding up all the things that we've worked on throughout this process into one cohesive expression. And so this week we will begin to, again, kind of pull those pieces together in a way that makes sense. So it also might take a little bit of editing where we had something, maybe we wrote three pages on a part of our life, and we need to like cut it down to a paragraph or something because we're going to write like, I don't know, a three-page story versus, you know, a novel or something like that. Or maybe you decide this is going to lead to something like that, and this is just your structure and format, and you're going to build more on it later. Again, it doesn't really matter. It also could be that maybe you know, again, we're doing this in a lot of different ways. So however way you begin to bring this into some cohesive expression is something that you can kind of figure out along the way. It also might not be something that's super clear to you today, but hopefully by the end of the week, will become a little bit more clearer for you. So just to kind of think about some of the things that you might want to add to your narrative, know that there could be thoughts and concepts beyond just what we've gone over in order to really kind of create a full expression of what your experience is around spirituality and your understanding of what it is that you believe to be true about yourself, about the world, and even what you hope or what your ideal is too. So the first thing that we focused on, what did we learn about religion while a child? So what was it that we were told when we were young? And part of this might even just be, what were we told until, and what did we believe until it started to change? And for me, I feel like, you know, you start to, it's like, whether it's like the idea of loss of innocence or that, you know, so for some of us, our childhood started really young. And for others, we might not have matured, especially if we're thinking about religious or spiritual ways, until like our 20s or maybe even 30s. I don't know. We all have different narratives. So whatever time frame it was before you started to see things differently, even if just a little, then kind of focus on that time. For some folks like myself, we weren't raised necessarily in religion, like within our family and stuff. But I think even if you didn't, if you live in the United States, you've been impacted in a lot of ways by Christianity. It's kind of, you know, within the framework of our laws and our schools, and there's just so many people who involved in it that it has bleeded into a lot of our society. So even if we're not believing in it or not like even participating in it, in a lot of ways it's participating with us. So coming to understand that can be helpful in us understanding how things had evolved. One of the things I thought of is I had a moment where I wished maybe I hadn't even been exposed to church when I was younger, so that I didn't have the trauma or pain to have to get over in order to get to the space that I am now. Those are the sorts of things that you might come to understand about yourself. And then we talked about, when did your understanding change? So when did things begin to change with you? And some of the ways that I was thinking, when did your childish ways start moving into more of an adult or young adult kind of space? When did things begin to change? Your understanding began to change about what you were told as a child, how you began to see things differently. And then when did you feel the most connected to your spirit? So again, sharing those stories when you felt most connected to Creator or God or other people or yourself, your divinity, your spirit, however way you want to define that again. And the way that you kind of bring these together, you can bring it together in a very like linear way, or maybe it makes more sense to put it together more like a bouquet of flowers where you have kind of bits and pieces of this and that throughout your expression. When was the time that you didn't feel spiritual? Again, we just talked about the times we felt super connected, And then we also shared some of those times when we didn't feel connected. Again, like talking about before, it's important to, I think this can be a really powerful part of our narrative, and a really powerful place for us to explore and spend some time in, with a new understanding of spirituality, God, creator, the one of our now, to see them at play or see those beliefs in our past where we hadn't seen it before. Again, that begins to transform our past or our experience with our past, which leads to healing. And I think ultimately builds our strength. And again, gives us hope in those times when we can't feel spiritual, can't feel connected to spirit, which I think is something that might happen throughout our lifetime. It's something that's happened throughout my lifetime thus far. And so I'm not so sure I will escape that my entire life. I don't know if that's what enlightenment is to be in a space in which you always feel connected. I definitely feel a lot more connected most of the time than I did before. So it's been progress, but who knows? Maybe that doesn't happen until the day we die. I don't know. And then how is your spirit? So this was a check to see where are you at now? What is it that you believe? What is it that you don't believe? How do you feel about all that sort of stuff? What are your thoughts? It's just basically kind of an inventory of where you're at now. Maybe some even hurts or things that you're challenged by. All of that just kind of checking in is, how is your spirit now? I feel like that's one of my favorite things to ask people when they're going through things, or is like, how is your spirit? I think it's easy to assume that if like somebody's dealing with a death or a sickness or a loss of some sort, we want to say, oh my God, that's so awful. Or, you know, and I think, you know, plenty of people are going to say that and plenty of people are going to approach it in that way. But asking how someone's spirit is in that process, I think can be really different. And you also might come to understand that though somebody might be going through something that's really difficult on the outside, like a big loss or whatever, they might be actually though in a state of being okay with that, or connected in their spirit in a way that's pulling them through that experience that can be really difficult. So I think I like that as a question as well. A lot of people just popping in and out for a second. Try not to read into that and think that I'm just boring. But anywho, what is your ideal? This is actually what we focused on this last week. And this was kind of like our what do we want? Where do we want to be? How do we want to begin to act or see things differently in the future? These could be daily practices or rituals. It could also be some sort of a commitment, or it could just be able to actually, begin to have actions that match your understanding. For instance, I believe in grace. I believe the fact that we all have the same value and the same worth, and that we all matter regardless of what we do or don't do with and in our life. And I don't always act that way for myself. I've navigated most of my life thinking that I'm not enough and that I'm less valuable and that I have to do things in order to earn even maybe like the slightest, maybe same worth as somebody else. So that's something that has changed drastically over time, but yet I still have some actions that tell me that somewhere in some places I still feel that I'm not enough or I'm not worthy in the same way that maybe somebody else is. And so for me, that's an ideal that I can continue to try to reach for and strive for, with the hopes that it will help me be better in the world, I guess. So that's just like one thought that came to mind. So we're back to that space of creating your narrative. So this can be done in a lot of different ways. It could be that you are writing, maybe you write a poem Maybe you've written or you've captured all this stuff in one way, but you want to try to put it into a poem or some sort of spoken word. Then this is a part of that process where you can begin to do that this week. So maybe it's writing a poem. Maybe it's you want to speak about your story in more of a parable, or like telling a story, like it's a bedtime story or something. Or maybe it's more in the format of like journal writing or expression in that way. So I think part of this week is figuring out how do you want to form that into a way in which you're going to, with the idea that you're going to express it in some way, that you're going to share it with at least one other person. And so how are you going to kind of like pull it together? It might be just taking all the pieces and stapling them together and saying, here, this is it. Or it might be a little bit more finessing throughout the week. So what I'm going to leave you with today is I'm going to play a video. This video was created as part of Drag and Spirituality in the Bay Area. This artist, they go by the name Syzygy, and they created a lip sync video performance expressing their narrative, their spiritual narrative throughout their lifetime. And so folks who are just listening will be challenged to visually see what's going on, which is quite the thing to get to see. I love this video a lot. I actually like to just sit in a dark room and play it on my computer and watch it. It's very visually appealing. So there is some like flashing lights and those sorts of things. So if you're light sensitive, you might not want to watch this. Maybe you can just listen to it. I still think that if you're thinking of your understanding of spirituality through your lifetime, as you listen to the words and the sound of this music, it will begin to, I don't know, I think it'll still have an impact with you. I will also put the lyrics of the song into the description for folks who aren't maybe able to hear or listen, or just would like them written. I will also have a link to the video in the description. So if you do want to listen or you do want to watch it, then you can go there and watch it as well. Just before we go into it, for folks who are only listening, the video starts out with a creature that is pretty much just a floating head with long ears that have stones on them, and it looks human-esque, but not completely, almost maybe a little alien-esque. Trying to think the best way to describe the face. The face evolves over time. At the beginning, it has a little bit of hair on the top of its head. Eventually, that hair goes away. And then eventually, a lot of hair comes on it by the end of the session. This is also done with the green screen. So there is green fabric that the creature is able to take a hold of and wrap itself in spaces. And so you'll see that the environment in which is captured in the background becomes part of this blanket, part of this fabric that is used to comfort, to hide, to hold this creature in. Now the background is a kaleidoscope of nature and stars and galaxies, bright colors, lots of movement, like dolphins, you know, swimming, or some sparkle and shine. And this kaleidoscope thing happens throughout the whole process. There are moments when this creature has like hands with nails on it that do sometimes appear and help create an expression for this creature. I feel like I've given enough of a description for you to potentially use your imagination if you want to do that, if you are just listening, or you might just choose to just listen to the music. So it'll just take me a second to set this up again. This artist name is Syzygy. I will put their contact information as well as a link to the video in the description. So here is Syzygy.
burning thing. Let it make the fire ring. All that I know love as a Cajun thing. Just a killer come to call from some awful dreams. Oh, and all you folks, you come to see. You just stand there in the glass looking at me. But my heart is wild and my bones are steel, and I could kill you with my bare hands if I was free.
All right. So as you could see or hear, that was just a way of kind of, I mean, I took it as the idea of, like, love, like maybe if, say, love is the ideal, the belief, the energy, if you will. There's in the beginning, it talks a lot about kind of love being fickle and, but also like being great. And so I think there was like this journey of also love eventually hurting, or life eventually hurting. The final song is about having a new attitude, and it's all full of life. And there were moments of, it's also a lot brighter visually. The creature also has a full head of hair, long hair, and it's Patti LaBelle. So it's definitely like full of life. So, but in that transition, there was kind of a little bit of, I felt like a little bit of darker moments. There was a lot more loss and confusion and just being distraught on the expression of the creature. And so, I don't know, I thought it was a great way of telling, like, I really related it. I was able to relate it to my understanding of my experience as well. But that idea that say if love is, God is love, or love is the final thing. And just again, the new attitude. So how things can change. And I think this process does a way of beginning to change things for us as well. And it probably took us having a different point of view or a desire for one to even, I think, embark on such a journey as this one. So I'm excited for you to continue the process of beginning to kind of create a cohesive expression, a culmination of the last 6 weeks of work and meditation and connection, and working this week on finding a way again just to bring it all together. I'll be going live each day this week again. And through those processes, I will probably share more of these narratives. Not all video. I'll try to get some different forms of expression to kind of share with you some things to explore. And also just to kind of just share with you some of these things. So I'm going to leave it at that. I wish you a beautiful rest of your Saturday or your day, depending on how you are and when you are listening to this. I wish you well, and I will see you next time. I do want to thank folks who are my Patreon members. I would like to thank Casey, Mark, Todd, Jonathan, Windy City Humanist, Jeff, Jeffrey, and Violet. Your monthly contributions, though they may seem small to you, or maybe they don't, they really mean a lot to me. So I appreciate your continued support of A Queer Chaplain. So I always say goodbye many times before I actually say goodbye, but I'm going to say goodbye. Take care. Hey y'all, Bonnie Violet here again. Just wanted to take a second to let you know about Splintered Grace Podcast. Splintered Grace Podcast just completed its fifth season entitled Still Seeking. Splintered Grace is a podcast that I co-host with my aunt, who is a conservative Christian and one of my biggest supporters in my trans identity and just life in general. While many family members are choosing to no longer speak, we have chosen to sit at the table and engage in difficult conversations to find peace and restoration. over our 24-year relationship, we have had a lot of ups and downs, and we haven't always really liked each other. We definitely never understood each other, and still some of it we don't, but we love one another so much and so hard and really work hard to show up for one another. And our hope is that by listening to this podcast, others may be able to begin to have peace and restoration in some of their other relationships with family members and or other loved ones. Check it out, Splintered Grace Podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts or on YouTube. Take care. Love ya. Bye.